Today's message title is Grace and Peace. Good morning. Let's read Bible together. Open your Bible, Book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the last sermon, we looked at what it means to be a saint in Christ Jesus. From Ephesians chapter 1. And this morning, I'd like to think about what Bible teaches about grace and peace from Apostle Paul's greeting words in verse 2. Grace and peace be with you. About how all the letters in the New Testament are written by the Apostle Paul, and if you look at the opening greetings of his letters, you will see that they always begin with the words grace and peace. The words grace and peace are often found in the Bible, and they are also used as Christian term. However, these two words are not only the best word to describe God's work of the salvation, but they are also the most important. The words grace and peace are also closely related words that cannot be separated when we think about the work that God has done. That's why Paul always used the word grace and peace together at the beginning of his letters, not as a habit or idiom, but with a clear understanding of the meaning of these words. First of all, the word peace is the Greek word eirene, which means peace in the Bible. It is equivalent of the Hebrew word shalom. The words peace and peace is generally used to describe a cessation of war or state of calm where danger and fear have been removed. However, the biblical words for peace and peace do not mean that hostile relation that existed until then have settled down for the time being. In other words, the word shalom have the connection or harmony. Therefore, peace in the Bible does not mean a truce without war and without attacking each other. Nor does it mean a cold war. Nor does it mean outwardly mandated state where people do not interfere with each other. It reconciliation, fellowship, and being united in oneness is called peace in the Bible. The word grace is also a word implies resignation. In other words, grace is something that I don't know how to describe, something that has been given to me and I have obtained, but for which there is no room for my effort, understanding, knowledge, or preparation, not even a little. What can only be described as a grace, I have no choice but to describe as a grace. To put it another way, we have never wished for, even not to wish for, or cared about, or even had the ability to have, even if we had wished for it. But we have it, and it has been given to us. This is grace. This is grace, something that there is absolutely no room for me. And what I got as this grace is peace. As I mentioned earlier, the word peace in the Bible means reconciliation and harmony. Reconciliation with the one and only God. None of us, by nature, desire or feel the need to be reconciled with God. And even if we did, we have no way to be reconciled with God. This is because all of us, sadly, are 100% pure, vicious sinners and sin lovers. If you look at the Gospel of John, it says that very clearly. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. If you just read it here, it seems as if it is saying that salvation depends on our choice. As if it says that whoever believes in Jesus, the Son God sent, will be saved, and whoever does not believe will not be saved. If salvation is dependent on my choice, then it is not grace. If the outcome is determined by my choices, it cannot be grace without room for me. What I am trying to say here is that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to save the world long before I believe in Jesus or not. None of us as human beings have ever voluntarily been interested in reconciliation with God. Nor do we feel the need for salvation, and we believe without knowing that there is such a thing as reconciliation with God or salvation. For those of us who live in such empty place, living and dying, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, ahead of us. Let's continue to look at verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. There it is. All of us are evil people and sinners of 100% purity who love darkness more than light. Not that person or this person, but the person I am is the 100 pure evil person and sinner who loves darkness more than light. I have never sought for God, and even if there is such a thing as God, it is only a tool or means to satisfy my desire and wishes. So naturally, I would not blindly choose Christ Jesus, the Son of Light. There are many people in the New Testament who has not chosen Jesus Christ, but none of them have willingly chosen him either. Not only 12 disciples who were supposed to be following Jesus, but all of thousands of disciples ran away from Jesus, and all the people crucified the Lord Jesus. They crucified Jesus even though they felt that he has the light. Even though we have a habit of loving darkness more than light, we cannot admit that such a humiliating habit exists within us. For example, when I see a movie or video depicting the cross of Jesus, I cry out, "What a horrible thing to do! I can't forgive him!" With tears streaming down my face, "I can't forgive them." We humans are perfect hypocrites and evildoers to the extent that we think of ourselves as not like them. We are such perfect hypocrites . The word perfect may be used perfectly only when it is used to describe the fact we are sinners. We are more attracted to darkness than to light. It is impossible for us to choose Jesus, who is the light, first to earn our salvation. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now here John says that Jesus is the light. When John wrote the Gospel of John, he had in mind the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, "Let there be light." Let there be light. I want to say that the essence or body of the light is Jesus Christ, the God who created all creation. Jesus Christ is the root of all things and mother, yet no one has ever been able to understand Jesus Christ, who is the light. And John chapter 1 verse 5, "The light sinners, light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not understood it." Understood it. This is another translation. But all of us human beings, born with an innate love of darkness, are attracted to material light like insects to a lamp shining in the dark of night. But we can never understand Jesus Christ, the true light. John chapter 1 verse 9 through 11, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." No one at all, not even those who later receive salvation by grace of Jesus, accept Jesus, the light, before they do. That's why it's grace. Salvation is not something that is accomplished because we first came to God's side or because we first chose the Lord Jesus. Jesus died first for us sinners who didn't know we need him, we needed him, and who didn't choose him of our own will. He died first for us sinners. We often say, believe in Jesus and you will be saved, but we don't have to believe first. God first prepared for us. We can believe God. And even deciding to believe is not my choice. Even deciding to believe is not my choice because we are those who love darkness more than light. Even the choice to believe, even the freedom to choose, does not depend on my efforts, does not depend on my eagerness, but only the grace of God. It's grace. It's God's grace. It doesn't depend on our effort. We are the one who are clothed with God's grace. And because of his grace, he was admitted into the true peace of reconciliation with God. And it was only then that we realized the grace and the serious fact that we had been enemies with God until then. The hostile relationship with God was brought to reconciliation through the bridge and sacrifice of Lord Jesus, and finally peace was obtained. Romans chapter 5 verse 6 through 11. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The things mentioned in this verse have happened to us, and there will be others in the future. Stay tuned. So, what were we once slaves to when we did not have peace with God? Slaves to sin. Since we are not our masters, but sin is our masters. Sin was our masters. Everything we do was sin. Also, we were not good on good with God. To put it another way, I didn't even know that God presence, God exists. So I didn't even know that I didn't get along with God. I was living in a place where there was nothing but sin. But because of grace, I broke free from that and became reconciled to God and entered into peace with Him. Now, who do you disagree with? You will be at odds with sin. Then you will see a world covered with sin. And in a sense, you will be at odds with the world. So if you are at peace with the world and at peace with God, should you have peace when you live as Christian in the world? Or do you have peace in believing in Jesus and living in the world? You may have headache more often than that. When you believe in Jesus, you can have peace with God, but when you live in the world, it can be very overwhelming. That is why Jesus said this about peace. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 38. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his one household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Jesus says that he came not to bring peace on earth, but bring a sword. This doesn't mean that Jesus is a tyrant for likes to do violent things. On the contrary, he said that because the world is violent, and the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will oppose everything. He does with a violent sword. He also said that Christians need to be prepared not to submit to the forces of earth that oppose them with their souls. Even after believing in Jesus, we still pursue an uncomplicated life in the world, keeping in tune with the world. Before we believe in Jesus Christ, we were at peace with the world and at odds with God. But just because we were at peace with God and at peace with the world does not mean that we have true peace without Jesus Christ. The more they live with the world and God along with the world, the more anxiety and discord covered their hearts, souls, and lives. And yet, even though they have come to believe in Jesus and have peace with God, they still try to keep peace with the world. It has become a battle of faith to see how well we can use our peace with God to live in the world and make a profit, and not a battle of faith to see the Lord Jesus as the light and creator and to protect, preach, explore, and live his word. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the way of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived along them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desire. And those, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgression, it is by grace you have been saved, and God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What would you say we used to be? We were dead in our disobedience and in our sins. By dead, I mean we were in state of not knowing God. No, it's more than that. We were living without knowing the true God at all, so we didn't even know that we were in disagreement or discord with him. In the past, we were living according to the flow of the world, unknowingly being carried along by the rulers with authority in the air, the rulers of darkness called Satan. That is called disobedience here. To whom it is to is it disobedience? It is disobedience to God, the Father, the only true Creator. And disobedience to God means that you are one God and you are one King. In other words, everyone is self-centered and self-first. Even good deeds and virtues toward others are for their own benefit. And if there is competition with others in front of them, they cannot lose. Truly, I am my own master. As the verse 3 says, I used to live according to the desires of my flesh, doing what my flesh and heart desired, while living as I wanted. You do what you want to do, and others are only there to help you do what you want to do. Everyone wants to be their own God, and everyone else to be their subject. Do you know what is the most common word used anywhere in the world? No matter where you go or what country you are in, it's the word I. In English, it's I. German, it's ich. Chinese, wo. In Korean, it's na. In Japanese, it's boku, ore, watashi. What all of these words have in common is that they are all short. No matter where you go in the world, they are all short because they are the most commonly used word. And the most common words that follow the word I are words that refer to people other than I. These are you, that guy, this guy, the person, this person. I am like this, but you, he. I'm like this, but too. Whenever we compare ourselves to others, we make ourselves bigger than them, smaller. I am generous, a righteous person, but they are tyrant. And every person wants to be a god and do what they want. But what does that look like? It calls for some between individuals and some between nations. The fact that you do not realize that you are the cause of the war that are going on and that you are even guilty of your own sins is proof enough that you are already sinners. No human being is ever at perfect peace with another human being. If someone is at peace with someone else, it means they have a common enemy. There is no such thing as perfect peace. There is only one thing in the world, and that is to use the other person and make them servant for the sake of me. In the end, we see that all religions created by man are nothing but an act of elevating the I to God. If you make up gods who are said to have the ability to do things that you cannot do yourself, and if you chant some kind of if you chant something to fulfill your desire, and if you make offering of money or things, then you must always respond to the wishes of me and fulfill them. If you don't, you are not considered a god. This is the reality of man-made religion. Man is always his one god and his one master. Even if I offer something, perform some ritual, and kneel before it, in the end, that something called God is only my vessel and actual servant who satisfies my desire through a series of procedures. But Jesus Christ, the Bible, makes us realize that we are creatures made by God, and that God who made us is our Master and Father. When we ignore the true God and live our lives selfishly thinking that we are gods, God has favored us, loved us, is more than happy to save us, and has made impossible sacrifice. That's why it's grace. That's why it's peace. If you think that my child's grades are and career path, my promotion and my wishes are grace, then you don't really understand what Bible says about grace. Of course, those things are blessings, but they are secondary to the blessings, secondary to the grace. What we must not lose sight of with the grace that has been given to us is, who am I? Who am I? I am not the master of my person. I am not the master of I don't have the right to make decisions in my life. My master is God, and God has the right to decide my life. For example, please make my business prosperous because I am going to give Thanksgiving offering. Please make my life successful because I am going to fasting prayer. Please listen to my appeal because I am going to attend the Sunday service without fail. Those are not grace. We need to remember that God does not lead us for our good fortune, our greed, or to make our dreams come true, but to reconcile with Him, to have peace with Him, to be united with Him, to be one with Him, and to lead as He wants to lead. Let's look at Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Captured by love of Christ, we live for ourselves no more. I am not master of my person anymore. I live for Jesus Christ, who died for me and rose from the dead. If you are not living that way, you may still be clinging to the old things, even though you have been born again. The old things are disobedience. Where you are the king, you yield the kingdom. You breathe in yourself and you live by your own decision and your own praises, plans. All things to the new creature in Christ come from God. To realize and confess that nothing comes from our own power and our own wisdom, to live with God as King and God as God, this is new way of life. This is the new way of life. This is the way of life where we experience reconciliation and peace with God every day. Do you have the peace of reconciliation with God where you are living now? Do you feel it? If you feel it, how do you reflect it in your life? If you don't feel it, please be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. God is always, everywhere, at all times, waiting for you with His hand full of reconciliation. If you want to receive blessings, be reconciled to God. Allow God to be your master. Shed your thoughts, ideas, and desires, and make a decision to live your life following God with joy, agreeing, yielding, and submitting to what He is trying to accomplish in you. In this way, you will experience victory to the fullest. You will experience many miracles. You will live a life that is amazing, better, more rewarding, more worth living than anything you could have planned. Let us pray. Dear God, we know your grace, your love, peace, Now we know. Please let us live that we know. We follow you as my master. Your plan is please give a life to live your plan over our expectation, and let us walk with you. Thank you, your words. Our grace and peace, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.